couple weeks ago, we talked about some spiritual blessings that were in Christ. We talked about the salvation that is in Jesus Christ, righteousness by faith, the redemption in Jesus Christ, freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, and reconciliation that we have in Jesus Christ. And this was taken from Ephesians, the first chapter, and I'd like to read those first three verses again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, I'm reading from the New King James Version, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. As I mentioned, so oftentimes we look at the book of Ephesians as the book of oneness, concerning the Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the first six verses. But here in verse 3, I think there's just an absolute phenomenal verse in the fact that Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, tells us that every spiritual blessing is in Christ. Now, if I was to put an ad in the newspapers all across the United States, all around the world, that if you show up on a certain day and come to the Holman Center and enter in through the only door that would be unlocked, you will receive supplies for 1 year of your physical needs. Now, no doubt some people would show up, but all people would not show up, even though it was known throughout all the world that they would need to be there on a particular day. I think it's easy for us to see, for us to have those physical supplies for 1 year, we would have to show up in Terre Haute, Indiana on a specific day at the Holman Center, enter in through the only door that is unlocked to receive those supplies. We can see that. That's easy for us to see. And we know that some people would read that and say, well, that's not for me. That's too far to drive. Or I can't make it on that day. And yet, we shouldn't be surprised that they're not going to receive that year's worth of supplies because they didn't heed the ad that was in the paper. They didn't come to the town of Terre Haute, and they didn't enter in through that door. That should be easy for us to see, that the only way they can get those items is to follow those specific qualifications. Likewise, Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, says the exact same thing here in a different manner. He says that every spiritual blessing is in Christ. As we mentioned the other week, maybe the first thing we need to look at is how we get in Christ. Here again, another one of Paul's writings from Galatians, the third chapter, guided by the Holy Spirit, in verse 26, for you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We have to have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to hear that message. Not only do we have to hear that message, we have to believe that message. Even James says the devils also believe. So we have to do something more than just believe. So we have to act upon that message. You remember that story about that ad that went out through all the world? Some of those people actually acted upon that ad, and they came to Terre Haute, Indiana, to the Holman Center, and they entered in through the door, the only door that was available to them, to receive those material blessings. Likewise, these people here, we assembled here this day as Christians, entered in through that only door. Verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's the answer. We're baptized into Christ. We've entered that door. Now we have access to all spiritual blessings. That's as easy as it can be. And that's what Paul says. And he has written this letter to these Ephesians. So some other things that we might look at, that we might consider, is what part God has in these blessings. First thing, God's purpose. What is God's purpose? God's purpose is to save us. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us, here it is, in Christ Jesus before time began. Why send Christ? Because God loved us. We are made in the image of God. Not a physical image, a spiritual image. Too many people miss that aspect of it. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not my physical well-being that will be in heaven someday. It's my spiritual well-being that will be in heaven. It's my spirit, my soul, my everlasting soul. Ephesians, the second chapter, and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Too many of our denominational people want to only look at one aspect of that and said, God is doing everything. But if we take our time and look at that verse, that's not what that verse says. It says, for by grace, there's God's part, God's grace in loving us so much that he sent Christ to this earth, born of a virgin, prophesied of old, come to pass. You have been saved. How have we been saved, Paul? Through faith. I have to have faith almost 2,000 years removed from the fact that I believe that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came to this earth via a miraculous birth, a virgin birth, walked on this earth as we walk, yet without sin, was put upon the cross without a cause, and died for all of mankind, past, present, and future. That's part of my faith. The faith that I read about, the things that I read about in this New Testament, the things that I read about in the book of Acts, in the Acts, the second chapter, when Peter and the other 11 proclaimed the gospel for the first time on the first day of the week. That's part of my faith. And that not of yourselves, don't get boasting about it, that this, you're going to obey this. It is the gift of God. What is? Christ is. Christ is the gift of God. He came to this earth to give us a pattern for us to walk by. You remember what Paul said in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's who we're supposed to imitate. Why? Because we call ourselves Christians. We don't call ourselves Baptists or Catholics or Mormons or Presbyterians or Paulites or Cephasites or any of that other stuff. We're just Christians. Just like those in Antioch. And just like what Agrippa almost was, a Christian. That's what we are. Titus, the first chapter. Turn over there, if you would. Titus, chapter 1. Beginning with verse 11. That's not the right verse. Excuse me. Chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So many times our denominational friends will say, oh, all you folks want to talk about is works. Well, let's just see what Paul had to say about that here. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What does he want out of us, Paul? Teaching us. Why must we be taught something if it's once saved, always saved? Why must we be taught something if we have that warm all over feeling that God has already saved us? Why must we be taught something? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Then you turn, you go down to the last part of verse 14, zealous for good works. What good works, Paul? What he just told us there. Live soberly, righteously and godly in the present age. Oh, is that just for the first century Christians? No, that's for anybody who reads this. That's for anybody who is a Christian from the time the gospel was proclaimed until the end of the world, whenever that be. That's for everyone who reads it. 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are, here it is again, which are in Christ Jesus. Isn't it amazing? We have to keep going back to being in Christ Jesus. You might say we have to keep going back to the Holman Center for those supplies. What if we went to the Holman Center every year? What if that was available to us to go every year? Wouldn't we have to go back there every year into the Holman Center where those physical blessings would be provided by someone, not me, for all of mankind? Absolutely. Why is it we can see that from a secular standpoint, but we can't see it from a spiritual standpoint? It's in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And this is Paul talking. So God's purpose was to save us. And how is he going to do it? Through the gospel. Acts 24, verse 24, and after some days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. It's not the faith in man. It's not the faith in Moses. It's not the faith in the Jewish laws and rules and regulations. It's not the faith in the Roman government. It's the faith in Christ. The Word of God, which brings about the individual faith, is necessary for obedience to the gospel. No one can be baptized for you. You've got to do that on your own. You've got to confess that Jesus is the Christ. That's what Christ said in Matthew the 10th chapter. If you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father who art in heaven. It doesn't say if your grandfather confesses me before men, or your father, or your aunt, or your uncle. It says you. That's personal. And it's through the gospel. That's what they were going to hear. That's what Paul was going to preach to them. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Here we are again. Of Christ, not somebody else. Not some denomination. Not some denominational book. For it is the power of God to salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. You know, maybe sometime we ought to just type that word in our fancy little computer at home, in Christ, and see just how many hundreds of times that comes up. Imagine you're going to figure out that when you find out that you're in Christ, there are just so many things that are inside that circle, and there's not going to be anything that's outside that circle. It's in that circle. You might say that's the Holman Center of the Bible. Or maybe we should say the Holman Center is the secular aspect of being in Christ, with my example that I have. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, 2 Corinthians 2:14, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now, I know something about diffusers. I'm a retired sheet metal worker, and there happen to be three of them in this room. Right here's one, there's another one, and there's a third one. Those are 24 by 24 lay-in diffusers with 10-inch necks. They're all four-way throws. In other words, that air that comes out of there, usually most of the time, it's way too hot, as it is today, But that four-way diffuser diffuses that air in four directions. Now, they make three-way diffusers, they make two-way diffusers, and they make one-way diffusers. But these are four-way diffusers, and they work very efficiently. That's what Paul says, guided by the Holy Spirit, and through us diffuses. Let me ask you something. Are we doing any diffusing? Or are we return grills? Like that over in the corner where it takes the air back. Are we diffusing out this fragrance of His knowledge in every place? Are we sharing the gospel with anybody else? Just remember, if you've got a Bible, and you have a Bible study with somebody, you preach the truth, and you give book, chapter, and verse for everything that you sit down with these people, and you've had this study. Maybe it's just one study. Maybe it's just a one-hour study. Let me tell you something. When you have a Bible study with somebody, don't wear out your welcome. They've invited you into the home. If you said an hour, make it be an hour. If they want to chase rabbits, write down all these rabbit-chasing verses that they've got. Say, my hour is up. I need to go. Later on, they'll appreciate you for it, and maybe they'll ask you back. But okay, you sit down with them, and you give this to them, and you tell them everything that they need to do to be saved, to be in Christ. The fact they've got to hear the gospel, the fact they've got to repent, the fact they've got to confess, the fact that they've got to be baptized, the fact that they've got to be faithful all the days of their life. And you're sitting there, and they're wringing their hands. They've already crossed their hands, so you know it's time to go. They're not going to listen anymore. And they say, well, I just don't think that's for me. As you get up and walk out, don't you dare shed a tear. Because they have not rejected you. They've rejected Christ. Just remember that. They've either obeyed God, or they've given up on God. Or they haven't obeyed God. They haven't rejected you. Don't let the old devil get inside your head. They rejected the gospel, if that's what you're teaching. What else is available to us, these spiritual blessings in Christ? We're heirs. Galatians, the fourth chapter, starting with verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, part of that fullness of time, it's just amazing how God uses all kinds of other empires, other languages, and so on and so forth, to really make this verse blossom. But in the fullness of time, part of that had to be that was the fact that it was the Roman Empire was there, and you could travel all over the Roman Empire up until sometime in the 1800s, quicker there than any other country, any other empire in the world. So with that being said, that meant the gospel could get from one place to another quicker than any place else. Previous to that, Alexander the Great, he carried his Greek language with him everywhere he went. And that's what was taught to the world. Oh, how wonderful that is, that the Koine language was available to everyone. And that's what almost everyone spoke. There's no need for a translator. As if Paul, or as John, is going to Chile next week, he's going to have a translator. Because those people down there don't speak English. Maybe it'd be good if you learned Koine Greek. I don't think that'll do any good, because I don't imagine they know that either. But that's part of that when the fullness of time had come. Two little aspects, the language and the ease of transportation. As we go on, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, and become you as sons, excuse me, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And what do you have if you're an heir? You know, when I die, there's only one other person in this room that will show up at the court when my will is given out, and that'd be my wife. None of the rest of you will be there. You don't have the right last name. But we are all Christians. We're all in Christ. So we all have access to that heirloom, we might say, that inheritance, we might say. What is that? Heaven. We all have access to that and a right to that because we are all in Christ. You know, if you're not in Christ, you don't have access to that. You have no need being there. It won't do you any good. Do we see that? Ephesians 3:6, look at this, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Oh, you know, that might have just really gotten under the craw of those first century Jews, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, that's the church, and partakers of his promise in Christ, there it is, in Christ again, through the gospel. You know, the great thing about the book of Ephesians is that Paul explains it, guided by the Holy Spirit, how that the Jew and the Greek have become together. They're not apart anymore. They're reconciled in one body through Christ. Those who were near and those who were far off, we all have access. They weren't supposed to be Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. They were just supposed to be Christians. And that's what Paul said in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one. Here we go again. In Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized in the Christ have put on Christ. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, whether it's black and white, purple, polka dot, it doesn't matter. If you're in Christ, that's all that matters. Something else that God wants. He wants us to remain faithful. You read back in the Old Testament, He made those promises to Abraham, that threefold promise. And here comes this great nation out of Egypt. And as they're traveling along, Moses goes up on the Mount Sinai and comes down with these laws and rules and regulations and so on and so forth. And all God wanted out of those children of Israel was to follow those rules and laws and regulations. That's all. And there's the promised land on the other side of the Jordan. Just do these things. And when you go in there, wipe out all these people. Because evil associations corrupt good morals. And they're all a bunch of heathens. And they all worship a bunch of different idols. I don't want you to be influenced by that. Wipe them out. God just wanted those people to be faithful to Him. That's all He wants out of us. Romans, the 8th chapter. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You might want to file that into the back of your memory bank. That there means that, you know, if you're with God, that's at least 51%. And that's all you need to prevail. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, it is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. A quote from Psalm 44:22. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a pretty impressive verse, isn't it? Verse 39 mentions these things shall be, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's that in Christ Jesus again. That's what God wants out of us. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. What happens when we sin? We let the lust of the flesh creep into our life. That's the devil's aspect. And so what do we have to do? We have to repent and get back near God. Because we know God doesn't move. It's we that move from God. We've taken up residence with the devil. We have to repent and come back to God and take up residence with him again. And if we do, when we do these things, we can be faithful all the days of our life. And if we are, then what else does God provide? Eternal life. Romans 5:21, so that as sin reigns in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life. Here we go again. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Or in Jesus Christ our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, here we go again, through our Lord Jesus Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. They are through Jesus Christ. That's how we have access to them, via Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. How do you do that, Paul? In Christ Jesus. And Jude 1, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. How can we be preserved? 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, what things? The things that Peter just talked about. Those Christian graces found in verse 5 and 6 and 7. You will never stumble. Think about it. The times that you've sinned, were you doing those things that Peter told you to do? You can't. You can't be on both sides of the door at the same time. You're either on this side with God or you're on the other side with the works of the flesh. This side, you're in Christ. If you step outside, go on the other side, you're making camp with the devil. That's all you can say. You can't be on both sides of the door. There's two sides to a coin. There's two sides to the door. You're either on one side or the other. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're sitting on the fence, you're with the devil. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:1. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. That's still inside this circle. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:14. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. here we go again. It's just like a broken record. And the dead in Christ will rise first. 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3, as we conclude this lesson. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. There it is again. This hope in Him. As we extend the invitation, if you're not in Christ, you're outside of Christ. If you're outside of Christ, you're lost. If you're lost, you're not going to heaven. It's as simple as that. Why would you not want to be in Christ? If you have erred from the faith, if you're in Christ but unfaithful, fallen away, why not make things right and get back in a right relationship with Christ? Isn't that what Peter encouraged Simon to do in Acts the 8th chapter? Sure it is. If we can help you in any way, come forward now while we stand and sing.